Our Bible reading this week comes from Matthew 28. We're looking at verses 16 through 20. Matthew 28, verse 16 through 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the end of the age." Can anyone name for me what that is? Anyone? No. Sorry?
Justin Bieber.
Justin Bieber. Yes, well done. He's changed. Anyone have an idea? Beethoven's Fifth. Now, who had heard that before? Maybe you didn't know what it was. It's a very iconic piece of music. Beethoven led all kinds of amazing music with orchestras playing to this day. Now, for an orchestra to make the noise that it makes, the music that it makes, some people might say the noise that it makes, but that's another story. For the music to be able to be made that an orchestra can make, there are four or five sections. It depends if you're talking to a purist or not. Some purists would say that it's only the first four on the screen, woodwinds, brass, percussion, and strings. But many times across history, organs and other keyboard-related instruments have had a place in an orchestra. So I'm not sort of beholden either way. I've put all five up there. You can come and argue that you're right afterwards. That's okay. But it takes all these different pieces, all these different aspects, these different musical instruments to make the amazing music that can come from an orchestra. But how? How do they play well together? What are the things that have to be put in place so that that music sounds like music and not what it would sound like if I was playing? What are the things that have to happen that pull that all together? Well, one of the first things is each of the people playing, they have to make sure they have the right instrument. And if it has something that needs tuning, if it's got strings or it's got different aspects to it, they need to make sure that they tune their own instrument. When Zach was here before, he came in for a sound check and he obviously made sure that his guitar sounded right so that when he strummed that guitar, we didn't run for the door. He made sure it was in tune. Another thing that has to be done is each person actually has to follow the music. It is not their role to come up and go into a bit of a solo by themselves. But their role is to actually follow along with what the composer is playing or leading them to play and to play their role in the bigger picture of the music that is being made. Just want you to hold that image for a moment. We'll come back to that shortly. We're starting a new series today. And if you're with us today, this is a really important year in the life of our church. And we're being very honest and upfront that we are in a season of rebuilding. If you've been around for the last few years, you'll know that the last 4 years have actually been a little tough. That over the last 4 years, we've actually seen a lot of really good people move on into a new season in the life of the church. Then we had this COVID thing. You know, that thing that doesn't affect any of us whatsoever. It hasn't changed anything. That hasn't helped. Now, I've been here for the last 2.5 years. I felt God call me to this place to be a part of leading this church into its next season. So next week we celebrate 10 years, but God is not finished with us yet. And so today we're kicking off a series where we're looking at rebuilding. That we believe that's the word that God has given to us for this year. So the question that I want to start with is, how do we as a church play in tune in 2022 and beyond? How do we not just gather together as individual Christians, playing our own individual instruments, making our own individual sound? But instead, how do we come together as a church and play an amazing symphony that wherever we are, whether we're at church on a Sunday, or at church when we're at the park, or where we're gathering together, or if we're out scattered in our workplaces, wherever we work, rest, and play, the music that the world hears from our lives is captivating and draws them in to ask the question, is there more to life than this? How do we play in tune? How do we play in tune with God? One of the first things that followers of Jesus have to sort of work out for themselves is, what's the tune that God is calling them to play? How can we make sure that we're actually seeking God's heart and seeking God's way in our life? How do we make sure that every day we get up and we consider God in our life? How do we play in tune with each other? How do we make sure that we keep close relationships? How do we make sure that we can work through challenges that arise? How do we make sure that we're building in such a way that we are a church together moving forward? So what we're going to do today, as a bit of a catch-all, it's a bit of an overview. We're not going to do a deep dive into any one thing, but instead we're going to look over what this series is going to cover to give you a bit of a snapshot of what to expect. And whether you're able to be with us for 1 week or 10 weeks, I hope that some of what we look at today will help you think about what it means for you to follow Jesus, whether you're exploring faith or you're committed to it. We're going to revisit why we exist as a church and explore a little bit more of how do we live out our why. So firstly, our vision. And again, we deliberately don't have a vision that's a bumper sticker. It's not meant to be a thing that you've memorized and you know exactly what it is. We actually want to paint a picture. We want to tell a story, and we work together through this to sort of learn each of the pieces. Our vision story is, between now and 2030, we will advance the kingdom of God by engaging people throughout the Shire of Murray, the broader Peel region, and to the ends of the earth, encouraging them to encounter God in transformative ways and equipping them to be sent as devoted followers of Jesus into the world. Our mission, the thing that underpins this, the thing that we're about day in, day out, and this is the one that I do want you to remember, that every day we are journeying with people towards Jesus. That every single thing we do is about journeying with people from where they are. Our heart is to meet people wherever they find themselves. And that means we have to go. That means we have to be in those places where the people are. But we love them enough not to leave them there. And step by step, we walk with them towards Jesus. So I want to do a bit of a blueprint today. Most of this series, we're going to be looking at the book of Nehemiah in the Old Testament. But for today, I actually want to unpack this through the lens of Jesus, because Jesus is the blueprint. Each of these things we're looking at today, it's listed as steps. These steps aren't in necessarily the order that you do them in. They're actually in the order that they come up in the book of Nehemiah. So that's not the point. It's not step one, then step two, then step three. But they are each the pieces to the puzzle that will help us as a church to do this well. And the first place, and I would actually say that this is the first step, and this is the heart of Alpha, and this is why Zach is here today. He talked about this in his interview. We have to feel a burden for those who are distant from God. Now, they're not distant from God because God is distant from them. God sent his son to die on the cross for all of us. But there are people who are simply not interested in God. And it's actually up to us to be burdened by that. to have a concern, to have a heart that beats and says, we just have to find a way to reach these people. They need to know Jesus. Jesus himself says in Matthew 9, verse 35 to 38, well, it explains from him, Jesus went through all the towns and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. And I love this next bit because it captures the essence of Jesus. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. They were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Now, they wouldn't have considered themselves to be harassed and helpless. They were probably quite happy and comfortable. But Jesus knew what was going on, and he was burdened for them. And then he goes on to say this to his disciples. This is his response. When you get a burden, when you feel that burden, this is what you will do. He says to them, and he said to the disciples, the harvest is plentiful. The harvest is not the problem. The workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. If we are to rebuild as a church, it's not going to be because we put on a really good Sunday service. It's not because we attract lots of Christians to come together. That might be something that is done, but that's not our aim. God wants those who are in this community today, in South Yandarup, in the Shire of Murray, in the Peel region, and to the ends of the earth, to know him. We have to have a burden for those people. Because if we don't, feel a burden for the people, we're just playing church with a steeple. If we don't have a burden for the people, we're just playing church with a steeple. We're just gathering together. We're going through the motions. We're doing church because, you know, I guess it's a Sunday, so I'll go to church. That's not why Jesus died on the cross. He had a burden for the people. So he gave his life. And he called us to do the same. Another part of this, to help us rebuild, is we have to know the vision. We need to know the bit that we play. We're not the global church. We're the church here in South Yandarup. So what's our role? What's the part of the vision that we sit with? And the verses that we can see from Jesus that really help us to understand this is John 4:34 says this, "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Another verse like it is in John 5, verse 30. It says this, "But I myself, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just. For I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me." That our role in our church and the vision that we have, that we're looking for, is what we believe God has given to us for this community at this time. And we have to boldly and wholeheartedly throw ourselves behind looking at what God is doing and partner with him in the midst. That it's not about pleasing ourselves. It's not about doing what we want to do, but finding our little role to play in the work that God is already doing in this community. And that has to be at the heart of everything that we do. To rebuild Austin Cove, we need to keep our eyes on the vision, always looking up. God, what are you doing? God, what are you saying? God, what are you calling us to? And we've got to keep our feet on mission. That at all times our feet are heading towards, journeying with people towards Jesus. Another step in the process is we have to equip the people. Jesus was about everybody being involved. We find at the very start, this is what happens. In Mark chapter 1, verse 16 to 20, Jesus is just about to launch out into his ministry. And he says, as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Following Jesus is a calling to learning to live for him. And that our role as a church is to not just do it ourselves. And this is tough at times because sometimes it's just easier just to do it. I find myself having to battle that wrestle many, many times and going, I could just do this, but oh no, it's got to be all of us. There's a role for all of us to play. This is not meaning on a Sunday. This is meaning in the mission and vision, 7 days a week. That we want our heart to be that we are equipping everyday people. Who here is an everyday person? I should see every hand. This is not for the special people. This is not for the pros. This is not for the super Christians. Not that that exists. This is not for those who are just, oh my goodness, I could never be like them. God's call for equipping is for every single person, everyday people, everyday ordinary Christians have a role to play in the kingdom. There's no bar that you have to reach. You are invited to take part, equipping everyday people to follow Jesus every day in every way. Another thing that we have to look at, another role, another step in the process, we actually have to expect and be prepared for opposition. It's not all actually easygoing. It's not just going to be, you know what, we're going to do this and no one's going to have any bad thoughts about the way the Christians work and the church operates. And everyone's going to be like, I'm so glad this is what the church does. We live in a world where there is definitely opposition. I'm not entirely convinced it's actually worse than it's ever been. I think it's just different than it's ever been. It's different kinds of opposition. We find this in John 16, verse 33 through to 7, verse 1. Jesus says this, I have told you these things. He's sort of summarizing everything that he shared with them up until this point. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. And after Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. We like to think sometimes that faith is going to be easy, and it's not, we don't ever experience that, but we like to think, well, it should be like, there should be something about this that just flows. But Jesus himself said, as he was summarizing, why had he taught his disciples what he had taught them? You will have trouble in this world, but don't worry, I've overcome the world. And then he turns that encouragement into prayer. That his action is he goes from, look, here's what's going on in the world, I'm going to pray. And then he does. So what we'll look at around this is how do we prepare for opposition? I think there are two key aspects. Is we have to put prayer into action. We have to be a people of prayer. Prayer can't be something that we just do lip service to or that we tick a box. Healthy churches have a vibrant prayer life. Healthy churches know the place that prayer plays in following Jesus. We have to light a fire in our own prayer lives. We have to light a fire in our church's prayer life. But we can't just pray. It's not a fix it, hey Jesus, just fix this for me, here it all is, and then I'm just going to sit back and twiddle my thumbs. We then have to put action into those prayers. We have to see the way that God has actually equipped us to be the solution to the problems that we raise. Jesus, I pray that you would reach the community. I pray that you would call people to yourself. Oh, but I don't want to call people to you. We have to put prayer into action and action into our prayers. another step, which is a really important one, and this is not necessarily step five. I think this has to happen throughout the whole process. We have to love the church. We have to love God's church. We have to love one another. In John 13, 34 to 35, Jesus says, "A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you." So you must love one another. "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Churches rise and fall on their capacity to actually love themselves, to love those within it, to look after the people in the church, to care and not to get focused and get so caught up, because it can go too far. And you'll get churches that only care for themselves and don't look outwardly. But Jesus ties the world knowing that we are his disciples to how well we care for each other. And we can all, I'm sure, think of examples where we've seen things and go, "I'm not sure the church has left a good witness in that way." See, how we fulfill the vision is as important as that we fulfill the vision. How we get there is as important as that we get there. We don't want to get to there and go, "You know what? Yes, we've done all this," and then look behind us and just see chaos and destruction. We want to get there together. And it won't always work out, and not everybody will come with us the whole way. But as much as we can, we need to love the church. And we need to always be asking, what's next? God, what are you calling us to? What are you open? What's on the horizon? Rather than always looking back in the rear vision mirror, looking forward and seeing that God's already working into the future, that God is going to be present in the future, and we are called to step into that place and see what God is doing. In John 12, verse 26, this is what he says. "Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." That the call to follow Jesus is actually a call to give up your own life, to give up your own heart's desires, to give up your own plans. Now, it may be that Jesus returns some of those to you, and it may be that they're in line with actually where he wants you to go. But it's a calling to a life of service and saying, "Lord Jesus, send me. I will go. What's next, God? What do you have next for me? I can put that aside for now. I can pick that up later. What do you have for me today?" But we can get a bit stuck because we can kind of go, "There's so many things I could do." Maybe your problem's not that you actually want to serve, but you don't know how to. So what we'll look at here is simply this. Just take the next step. Don't worry about the steps that are 10 steps away. Don't worry about the things that are going to be all the way far. What's the next thing? What's the right next step for you to take? As we learn to play music together, good music draws people in. Now, people have different tastes and different music, obviously. But good music draws people in. If I was to pick up Zach's guitar right now, don't worry, Zach, I'm not going to. And if I was going to try and, I think I could like maybe like one note, and that might not send you for the doors, but the rest of it, I can tell you right now, you don't want that. But as Zach was playing before, you just hear those notes ringing out. When a person can play a music, I'm not musically talented at all. It's one of those things that I wish I had done more. I wish I'd focused or learned something, or I think had the self-control to actually focus on something like that. But when you get a musician who just owns their instrument and they can take it places that you just can't imagine yourself going, it draws you in. We as a church want to be a church that plays beautiful music. Now, our music may not be to everyone's taste. It's got to be music that is in line with God's will and purposes for our world. But it will draw those in that God is calling home. We have to play good music. We have to play in tune. We have to follow the music, the composing that Jesus is doing for us as a church. So our theme this year, looking at rebuild, is we're going to work through the next 6 weeks, and each of those steps we're going to take a week to unpack, looking at the story of Nehemiah. Now, the story of Nehemiah is all about rebuilding the walls. So the walls of Jerusalem have all been knocked down when they were conquered, and Nehemiah has this burden to go back, and it's a God-given burden to go and rebuild the walls. So we're going to learn some lessons about rebuilding walls and apply them to how that can help us rebuild as a church. How can we be inspired now in our own rebuilding efforts from the life and times of Nehemiah? So I'd love to encourage you over these next 6 weeks, join us. If you live in the area, this is your normal church, commit as much as you can. You know, things like work get in the way, I understand that. But as much as you can, commit to coming every week across the next 6 weeks. Be a part of the journey as we unpack this vision. On your seat, you will have a little flyer, and you might go, I know how to get to the church. Yes, you do. But the friends that you can invite might not. Who can you invite to join us on this journey? Who might you be able to say, you know what, as a church, we're really going to look at what it means to move forward over the next few weeks, and I'd love you to come and be a part of that. Maybe it's for next week, it's for the anniversary, and they may have been a part of the church back when we were at the old building. They don't know how to find this one. Take this home with you. Who can you invite to join us next week for our 10-year anniversary? And then finally, this is for anyone who's here today, whether you're able to come back or not. I'd love for you to be praying for our church this year. I'd love for you just to be praying that God would move in our midst. And that because of what he does, there will be people from the Shire of Murray, from the broader Peel region and to the ends of the earth, who at the end of times come to us and say, thank you. Because of you, I met Jesus. And that would be the heartbeat of our church. Let's pray. I pray, Lord, that you would help us this day and every day to follow you. Help us as we launch out this year and look towards rebuilding, Lord. We believe that you are calling us in this direction. So we pray that you would help us to see what you're doing in our community and help us to step out in faith in the direction you're taking us. Father, we thank you for music, for beauty, for all that is good that you call us to. So take us where you will take us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.